appreciate our young people being willing to use their talents for the glory of God. And Jesus is indeed a friend of sinners. If it were not for the fact that he loves sinners, we'd all be in deep trouble, wouldn't we? Thankful for that song and that truth. I feel very much the need of the help of God today. And so I ask that you pray that God will help me as I speak for a little while. I want to take my reading lesson today from the 12th chapter of the Gospel as recorded by John. I'll begin at verse 23 and read down through verse 33. If you have your Bible and you care to follow along, I'd be glad for you to do so. Beginning in Luke 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into the world. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. We have, the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So I read one extra verse. I read verse 34 also. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word this morning, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to talk to you for just a little while on the subject of the cross and the empty tomb. The cross and the empty tomb. There's a great need for the gospel to be preached. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, I believe it is. He said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, our greatest problem is our heart. The Bible says that out of the heart the mouth speaketh. And the things that come forth from our hearts are the things that condemn us. But the Lord has made provision for changing the heart. He can convert us. We talk about being converted. He can make a change in us. He can change our way of thinking. He can change our behavior. And the Bible teaches that the heart of man, in Romans chapter 10, it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And it says, how can they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of great joy. So the gospel is really important. The life of Jesus, the things that he did and the reason why he did them, and his death on the cross and the purpose of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and the purpose of that resurrection, all of these things are very, very important. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said I guess I'll have to turn over there to that just for a moment and look at it, because I can't seem to get it started as it is. He said, moreover, brethren, I delivered unto you the gospel whom I preached unto you. He said, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. He said, if you keep in mind or memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. I think that, you know, a lot of people don't understand faith. Faith is the means by which we're saved. By grace are ye saved through faith. God has provided the plan and the provision so that we can be saved. And faith is in the Lord Jesus is the means whereby we are saved. But, you know, you can believe that Jesus lived and died, was buried and rose from the dead, and it just be superficial faith. But there is a faith that comes from hearing the Word of God, that will enable a person to trust in that fact, Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him with all of your heart, without doubt, and the Lord will forgive your sins and save your soul. And so the gospel is really important. And here's why. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12, that as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. You know, there are no men that have ever lived on this earth that did not have a sinful nature, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not have a sinful nature. He was virgin born because the Holy Ghost, His Heavenly Father, overshadowed a virgin, and she conceived of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was born without a sinful nature. So that's how Jesus can be the Savior. He can save us because He is the Son of God. And He has power. And He can forgive sin. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Jesus is the only source of salvation for any person. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us. Regeneration. So today I wanted to share these things with you. I've spent a lot of time, and I'm not bragging or anything about that, but I tried to seek the will of the Lord for this service this morning and to find out what He wanted me to say. I didn't know who was going to be present today. And I still don't know the hearts of those that are present. I've heard the testimonies of many of you, and I believe your testimony, and I believe that you're saved. But perhaps there's somebody here today that needs to hear of the things that I am trying to say this morning. You know, the Bible said that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there again, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that provides the eternal life for those who believe in Him. The gospel is the source by which you're saved, and I've already quoted that to you. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the one that was promised to the nation of Israel many, many hundreds of years ago. He came. And the Bible said in John chapter 1, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That is, they rejected Him. They didn't believe that He was the Savior. And therefore, they were not saved. Came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It's a wonderful thing to have your sins forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to know that you have passed out of the state of being dead in trespasses and in sins, and into the state of being forgiven. So Jesus can do that for us. Now in this lesson that I read in your hearing today, Jesus, this was near the end of His earthly lifespan. He had been on the earth about 3 1/3 years. If the calculations are correct, and I think that they are. But he had lived among men. He had showed himself, and had preached the gospel himself. He had healed the sick and the afflicted, the crippled, and many people had believed on him and had received eternal life as the results of that. And the time was nearing that he was going to the cross of Calvary. Now, the Bible teaches us that Jesus, he died on the cross. It was not because of his transgressions. It was not because of his faults and his failures. It was not because of his sinful nature that he died on the cross. But it was because of ours, you know, our sinful nature, our transgressions. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He said that that it was his transgressions, our transgressions, rather. I want to turn over there. I don't want to misquote that. That's really important. That chapter is the gospel of the Old Testament, without any doubt, you know, because the reference is to the Lord Jesus himself, the Messiah that was to come. And it says, he was despised and rejected of men. And it says, he was a man of sorrows and he was acquainted with grief. He didn't have an easy life. Every place he went and everything he did, was criticized and ridiculed. And it said, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I think even today that his life and the things he did, they were not appreciated in that day, and they're certainly not appreciated today. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. People today don't seem to put any value at all upon Christianity or upon the life of Christ or upon the death of Christ or even on the resurrection of Christ. It just seems like it's a fable unto them. But listen, the Bible says, surely he has borne our sorrows and has he has carried our griefs and hath, I'll get it right, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. You see, he did all of this for us. It was the only hope that we have. He paid for the Adamic sin. Adam sinned and brought sin into the world. And Jesus paid the penalty for that sin. It is by his grace that we have the forgiveness of sin. The Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own ways. And the Lord laid the iniquity of us upon him. And he paid for it. It says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now Jesus paid it all. I'm glad and thankful today that Jesus loved us. The Bible said He so loved the world. That is, He loved the world in such a way that He gave His Himself for us, that we could have forgiveness and deliverance from sin. And so Jesus paid it all for us. Now in the previous verses of this chapter, Mary had washed the Lord's feet. He was getting close to the time when He was going to be crucified. And in fact, this probably took place within the last week of His life, the things that are recorded in this 12th chapter of John. But anyway, Mary anointed His feet, and Judas complained about it, said it was a waste, you know. That money could have been used for something else that would benefit somebody else. And Jesus said, "The hour has come for me to be glorified." And He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." You know, if those who are farmers, you know, in the spring of the year, we till the ground and we plant the seed. If you don't plant the seed, they'll never produce anything, you know. So He said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground, it'll abide alone. He said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say?" But let me back up just a little bit. He said, "But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit." It's just amazing, you know. You put a seed in the ground, a little seed, pour a little water on it, and pretty soon there's a plant that pops through the ground, you know. And then that plant grows, and then it matures, and it produces, you know. The amount that it produces is just unbelievable, just from one little grain that's planted in the ground. Well, you think about Jesus. He was crucified, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead. And you just think about the souls that have been saved down through the centuries of time as the results of His obedience. He went to the cross and He died. You know, if He had not died, none of us would have ever been saved. There would have been no hope for us. And so he was planted in the ground. But the grave couldn't hold Him, the Bible said. He rose from the grave. On this particular occasion, he was nearing this time of suffering and shame and being despised and rejected and crucified. He was feeling that. He said, "That now is my soul trouble, and what shall I say?" He was in agony. He was in such agony that He prayed to His Father. And in His prayer, He said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He knew there was no other way. He knew, but He was in such agony and such suffering that He prayed and He said, "If it be possible." But I'm sure that He knew that it was not possible, because there is none other name that's given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. It's come to Jesus and be saved or to die and be eternally lost. And certainly I don't want anybody to perish. I know our church don't want anybody to perish, and I know my Savior does not want anybody to perish. He would have all men to be saved, the Bible says, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that's very important. Now, he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he prayed. And afterwards, he was arrested. He was taken away, and they crucified him. Jesus, he, on the cross, he spoke, I don't know, maybe seven times or something like that. I don't remember exactly, and I don't remember exactly the words that he said. I could probably find it and read it, but I won't do it. But he looked down from the cross. Can you imagine the kind of love that Jesus has for the human family? He looked down from the cross, and no doubt blood streaming down his face from the crown of thorns, from his hands and his feet. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That he has that kind of love for sinners. Not all sinners. The ones that crucified him, of course, but those of us that are in this building today, he had that kind of love for us. And so when Jesus died, the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent, and that was for a purpose. That was showing that the way into the holiest of all had now been made perfect. You know, in the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle, it had compartments in it, there was a veil that separated the holiest of all from the holy place. And when Jesus died, you see, nobody was allowed in that holy place, that holiest of all, except the priest. And he could just go in once a year and make an atonement. And he had to take blood with him when he went in there to make the atonement. But when Jesus died that day, that veil that separated, that was representative, that tabernacle, that temple, it was representing the holiest of all, heaven itself. When Jesus came down from heaven and he ascended back to heaven. But when he died, that veil, that prevented anyone from entering in without blood, that veil was rent from top to bottom, and it was signifying that the way into the holiest of all, the way into heaven, that's what it meant, the way to heaven has now been opened up, and the way has been made manifest. And I'm preaching today to manifest the way to heaven. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was buried, and he stayed in the grave for 3 days and nights. And he rose from the dead, even as it had, as he had said. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I'll build it again in 3 days." So they destroyed it. They beat him. They crucified him. They pierced him with the sword. Forthwith came blood and water. Joseph and Nicodemus took him and buried him. They made the tomb as sure as it could be. The Pharisees, Sadducees, they insisted on that. Make it as sure as you can. Because that deceiver, they called him a deceiver. They said that deceiver said that he would rise in 3 days. Make it as sure as you can. So they rolled the stone to the door and they sealed it. And they set guards at the door. Make sure he don't come out. Make sure that his disciples don't come and steal his body and then tell everybody he rose from the dead. We can't let that kind of news get out. But you know what? Early in the morning on the first day of the week, as it began to dawn, Mary went to the tomb, and when she got to the garden, she saw that the stone had been rolled away. You know, the women had said, how are we going to get that big old stone out of the way? We're going to anoint the body of Jesus, but we've got to get in. But when they got in sight, the stone had been rolled away. And an angel of the Lord said, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He has risen. You know, I'm so glad and thankful today for the gospel. The gospel. There's no better news than what I've shared with you today. No better news could be found anywhere than what I've shared with you today. I want to say, if you're unsaved, you've never experienced salvation, never come to know Jesus, I want you to do that. I want you to find the Lord. I want you to seek Him. This is what the Bible says. Seek the Lord while He can be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Now, Jesus is everywhere. He is approachable wherever you are. You can approach Jesus in prayer and in faith, and you can find Him precious to your soul. But this is a good place where God's people are and where we're praying for you. If you're not saved, will you come to Jesus? Will you come? Let us stand and sing.
Taking my place on that throne. Amen. Because it was my sins that were on Him.
Amen.
Just like everybody else's. I've been sitting here and I just got blessed. And I just want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ, my perfect Savior, for dying for me on the old rugged cross, like the song says, when He was hanging there and He had me on His mind.
Amen.
I want to praise His name this morning. And the best thing about it is I get to praise His name from now on.
Yeah.
My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you're not saved this morning, I don't care what age you are, I beg you, time is running out. You have no promise of tomorrow. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Jack. Maybe somebody else wants to testify.
Three twenty-one.